You know, it's nice for a change not to be the shortest person in the pulpit. It's not an experience I usually get. Hear these words from the 18th chapter of Luke. People were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such of these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's a familiar passage for many of us, that scene of Jesus and the little children. It's a familiar passage to picture because we've seen so many pictures of it. You go in virtually any children's Sunday school classroom in this country, and you will find somewhere in a coloring book or even on the wall or a mural a picture of Jesus and the little children. And it's this lovely picture of Jesus with these sweet, smiling children surrounding him, and there's butterflies and flowers and rainbows, and it's a lovely thing. And it makes you wonder why the disciples would send these sweet, innocent children away. Why are the disciples such big old meanies that they send these beautiful, angelic, cherubic children away? I mean, we think that children are wonderful. We think that children are a blessing. We think that children hung the moon. I think about the ways that my grandparents doted on me and my brother and my cousins when I was a child. I think about the way that my parents and my wife's parents dote on our children. And they've all been here this weekend. They're here this morning to have watched Luke and Riley lead worship this morning. And you know, I have to remind myself sometimes that these are not the same people I grew up with. There's very, very little resemblance between the parents I knew as a child and these grandparents. I heard somebody say one time that grandparents act the way they do because they're older and they're trying to get into heaven. And I think that might be true, but they see and we see, I think most of us, children as a blessing, as something to be cherished and to be loved wonderful. The thing is, that sentimental view of children that we have in 2016 in America is not the same view that Jesus' contemporaries had of children. The way that children were seen then and the way that we see children now is pretty different. I've got a cross stitch that somebody gave me years ago when I was working more closely with children and youth that says 100 years from now it won't matter how much money I have in my bank account, thank goodness. It won't matter what kind of car I drove or what kind of house I lived in, but I will have made a difference because I was important in the life of a child. It's a wonderful sentiment, cross-stitched, it's beautiful. In Jesus' day, that's not what they would have cross-stitched. What you might have found on a throw pillow is, a child is without understanding and self-willed. A child acts like a fool. These are all sayings from Jesus' time. A child is inclined to naughtiness and needs sharp discipline. Chatting with children is one of the things that destroy a man. Now, it's amazing that Hallmark has not gotten a hold of these and promoted them in some way. This is how Jesus' contemporaries looked at children. This is how they, not sweet, innocent blessings, but a nuisance. A drain on poor families, something that you had to put up with. So when the disciples said, send the children away, they weren't really being all that mean and different from everybody else. They were acting like just about anybody would at that time. Who wants to be bothered with children? Send them away. Now the text that I read also says that parents were bringing these children to Jesus so that Jesus would touch them. They were bringing the children to Jesus so that Jesus would touch them. And you know, if you've read very much of the Bible, that the people who want to touch Jesus are the people who need healing. The people who want to touch, Dominic wants to touch Jesus. The people who want to touch Jesus are people that want healing, that need healing. And so you see all those beautiful angelic, cherubic children with the butterflies and the rainbows and the lambs and all that around Jesus. That's not the scene. Our old pediatrician's office, when we lived in Georgia, you'd go in to the pediatrician's office, and there were two waiting rooms. There was the well child waiting room, and there was the sick child waiting room. You do not want to go into the sick child waiting. It's like the set of The Walking Dead in the sick child waiting room. There are open sores and smelly diapers and sneezing children that are oozing. And it's not a pleasant thing. But that's the side that wants to touch Jesus. These are the children that are coming to Jesus. It's not the sweet, innocent, angelic children. It's the ones with runny noses and dirty faces and bloated bellies and open sores and lies. Those are the kids that want to touch Jesus. Those are the kids that come, which makes it sound just a little different when Jesus says, "It is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." So the pictures of Jesus and the children don't quite get it right, but the story I read does get it right. The disciples are welcoming some people to see Jesus, and they are sending other people away. The disciples welcome some, and they send others away. And the gospel, like it so often does, serves as a mirror that shows us something of ourselves, sometimes parts of ourselves we don't want to see. You know, oh, everybody's welcome here. We welcome anybody. And we believe that, and we aim for that, and I think we do a pretty good job with that. But there are some times and there are some places where I read Animal Farm when I was a kid because it was the shortest book that was on the approved list to do a book report. And you might remember that the sign on the barn in Animal Farm said, "All pigs are created equal," until the end of the book when the sign said, "All pigs are created equal, but some pigs are more equal than others." All people are welcome, but some people are more welcome than others. Most of the time, we're not as blatant as the disciples were. Send them away. Send them away. Don't bother Jesus with them. It's usually a little more subtle. When our son Luke, who's 7 now, was a baby, we were at a General Assembly, a big convention of our denomination, and they'd asked me to come play guitar at a church there while we were at General Assembly, and so Leanne and I and Luke, who was about 9 months old at the time, went to this church to play guitar, and I got to sit in the congregation for most of the service, which was kind of nice, except I hadn't been used to doing that with a baby. And Luke was not perfect, but as good as a 9-month-old can be that day. I mean, he made sounds, and he wiggled, and he whined, and he did what kids do, but, you know, he didn't scream, he didn't throw a hymnal at anybody, which was not always a given at that age. You know, he did pretty well. But the whole time we were there, people were giving us the stink eye. People are looking and say, "What? Church is no place for a baby. What are you doing here?" And we felt it. Oh, my goodness. We felt the weight of those eyes glaring in on us. It reminded me, there was a guy at another church I used to serve. And the high school, the county high school, was right across the street from the church. And so, because the county high school is right across the street from the church, kids from the high school would come over to the church. They'd park in the parking lot. They'd go sit on the swings of the playground. Sometimes they'd want to ride their skateboards in the parking lot. That's just, you know, it was okay. But we had this guy, I'll call him Fred, and Fred had been a lifelong member of the church. And at least 3-4 times a week, Fred would come up to the church about the same time school got out. About the same time school got out, and he would tell all of those kids, "You can't park here, and you can't go swing on that playground, and you better not bring your skateboard anywhere near. If I see you with a skateboard again, I'm going to call the cops." It was like he was running a stray dog off, and would just yell and scream and stomp his feet. "Y'all, we get." And then at the board meeting that Sunday, he would stand up with a straight face and say, "I wonder why we don't have any more children and youth here. I wonder why we can't do a better job connecting with young people." See, it's one thing to say, "Everybody's welcome here." It's an entirely different thing to practice it. This may come as a shock to you, but sometimes babies cry. Sometimes children wiggle. Sometimes teenagers think they know everything. Not any of our teenagers, but some teenagers. And when those obnoxious teenagers and those squirmy children and those screaming babies want to get close to Jesus, the disciples send them away. See, the worst thing you can do with this story is imagine it looks like that picture with the rainbows and puppy dogs and everything sweet and innocent and wonderful. We can accept that. But that's not what's going on here. That's a fairy tale. What the gospel says is these were real kids who came to Jesus. Real kids. Kids who don't always know when to sit down and when to stand up. Kids who don't always know when to be quiet and when to talk. Kids who don't always know when to play and when to sit still. Kids who are kids and kids who have needs and kids who are hungry for the attention of anyone willing to open their arms to embrace them. And it's a story about Jesus welcoming them when the disciples want to send them away. I remember some years ago in a different church, I was preaching. I was up on the chancel, and we had a new visitor who was there that day. It was a pretty small church, and we didn't get a lot of new visitors, so we were excited to see a new visitor. It was a young mom, a single mom, had a five-year-old little boy with her. And, you know, God bless you if you get up and come to church with a five-year-old little boy. That's hard. It's hard. And she came with her little five-year-old, and they're sitting in worship, and he was not having a great day. You know, every excuse that he could come up with to leave the sanctuary, he was coming up with. I've got to go to the bathroom. He'd get up and he'd sprint out. And he'd say, oh, I got to go get some water. And he'd get up and he'd sprint out. And he'd get up and say, oh, I left my Bible in Sunday school. And he'd get up and he'd sprint out. And at the back of the sanctuary were these doors that swung both ways. And when a little five-year-old barrels through a door like that, they come back. It's a pop, 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 pop. Every time he would go, get up, sprint, pop, 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 come back in, pop, 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 pop. Kept happening. And there was an older woman sitting behind him. And every time he'd run out, I saw her watch him come back, watch him go out, watch him come back. And I knew this to be a woman who did not hold her opinions to herself. So I started to get nervous, and I wanted to, as soon as the benediction was over, I made a break for her because I wanted to talk to her before she talked to the mom. I wanted to try to intervene because I knew what was coming. How dare you do that? So I came and said, listen, I know that was hard to worship with all that. It was distracting. I get it. I understand that was tough. But I'll talk to her. Don't say anything. I'll talk to her. And that old woman looked at me and said, preacher, I'm not mad. I'm thrilled to death. Don't you dare say a word to that woman. Listen, when those doors stop swinging, this church is dead. Let the children come, and do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Thanks be to God. Amen.